Jerry Bader Show, 1035. So in the email dump yesterday, there's some $25,000 from the John Doe investigation. Emails from the Walker County Executive Office in Milwaukee County and his campaign. There are emails that deal with Rebecca Clayfish. Clayfish, who of course is now Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, was in a battle for a primary battle for the Lieutenant Governor spot in 2010 with then State Representative Brett Davis. I stayed out of that race. I can tell you, here's the way it was characterized, that Clayfish was the more conservative of the two and that Brett Davis had more of the gravitas. I'm not saying this is true. I'm telling you the way it was depicted. That he had a greater depth of the handling of the issues, knowledge, that he was smarter. I would argue in her time as Lieutenant Governor that she has entirely debunked that. Now, whether she improved or whether people were always underestimating her, I don't know. But I think she is very sharp on the issues now. Lee Berquist in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes, Walker's operatives made it clear they favored... Now, I want you to listen to this paragraph. Then I'm going to read the headline. Walker's operatives made it clear they favored Brett Davis over Rebecca Clayfish, the ultimate winner in the race for lieutenant governor. On March 2nd, 2010, Kelly Rinfleisch, who was working part-time for Davis, wrote Keith Jilks of the Walker campaign asking whether Clayfish would be allowed to use material for advertising from a campaign event Walker and Clayfish attended. In quotes, I know she's the bane of your existence, but I have a question. Will Clayfish be allowed to use anything for the event for advertising, like posted on Facebook, TV, commercial, etc.? Rinfleisch wrote to Jilks. I'm really beginning to dislike her, Rinfleisch wrote to Jilks. The next day, Jilks wrote back, no. That will be made abundantly clear to her. Then in 2010, Jilks wrote to Rinfleisch, we're not touching anything to do with Clayfish. She's radioactive and not worth the time. Davis' campaign should work on Mayor Ross and turn it into a two-person race to kick her ass, Jilks wrote, referring to then-Superior Mayor Dave Ross, who is now Walker Secretary of Safety and Professional Services. Dave Ross was always an also-ran in that race. Now, what that means is there are people in Walker's circle that didn't like Rebecca Clayfish. Listen to the headline on the web story that the Journal Sentinel published. Listen to this. Off-color jokes, Walker opposition to Clayfish revealed in emails. Did you hear anything in any of those exchanges that would suggest that Scott Walker had a problem with her? I didn't. I had heard stories that there were people who treated her the same way that the Republican establishment treated Sarah Palin. Well, this certainly appears to be the case. I did not take sides. I thought Brett Davis did have a depth of knowledge, but he was seen as not as conservative. And despite some pressure, I did not take sides. This does not, at least in this version of it, suggest that Scott Walker had a problem with her. All right, what was the story that I asked you to put up there? Yeah, you don't remember. All right, I'm going to cough while you do that. I saw, how could I have forgotten? I'm going to come off as sounding insensitive on this. You don't think so? You don't think I'm going to sound like a jerk if I say what you know I'm going to say here? Actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, as you know, died of a heroin overdose. He died with a heroin needle stuck in his arm. I'm going to try to tone my language down here. I think it is distasteful that he is being given the hero treatment by his friends in Hollywood. And the stories continue. I think one thing should be noted. The death of Philip Seymour Hoffman has raised attention to the serious heroin problem. And John Nygren, state representative in Wisconsin, had already done that in this state because of the personal dealings with his family, his daughter. But the stories continue. Among Philip Seymour Hoffman's final wishes, one stands out. The actor did not want his son Cooper to grow up in Hollywood. In his will, signed nearly 10 years ago and submitted into Manhattan's surrogate court on Wednesday, the late Oscar winner asked that Cooper, his only child at the time, be raised and reside in Manhattan, Chicago, or San Francisco. If my guardian cannot reside in any of such cities, then it is my strong desire and not direction that my son Cooper Hoffman visit these cities at least twice per year throughout such guardianship. With all due respect to the deceased, who the hell cares? Why won't this story go away? Who cares? He was a fine character actor, one of the finest character actors I think Hollywood has ever seen. Very versatile, which is what a character actor is. Very versatile. And I don't want to take that away. He was a troubled man who couldn't beat an addiction. Why does Hollywood glorify these people? And why do we care about this? He died with a heroin needle stuck in his arm. You don't think that sounds cold or insensitive? Now, I think it's, I applaud him for not wanting his son to be raised in Hollywood. That's fine. But they are just fishing and fishing and fishing for stories. And fishing and fishing and fishing for stories. It's not a story. Now, speaking of something being a story and not a story, I want to thank the listener who pointed this out to me. There was an incident in Manitowoc. It happened last night. It's a very short story at the Manitowoc Herald Times Reporter website. I want to read it to you right after I cough. I do apologize. As I said, Seth Meal is going to be here tomorrow. I just have to give up the ghost on this. Anyway, here's the story at the Manitowoc Herald Times Reporter. A 25-year-old Manitowoc man was taken into custody after allegedly attempting to burglarize a garage in the 1,000 block of Hamilton Street in Manitowoc Wednesday night, according to Lieutenant Matt Wallander of the Manitowoc Police Department. Wallander said a witness heard the suspect attempting to burglarize the garage. The witness then found the suspect and held him at gunpoint. Okay. So this doesn't sound like it was someone in the house. Is that the sense you get, Jason? Someone walking by, a bystander, someone outside the property, the targeted property, spotted the guy. The witness then found the suspect and held him at gunpoint, Wallander said. The witness had a concealed and carry permit, and the act was lawful, Wallander said. The suspect was then taken into custody and faces charges of burglary and criminal damage to property. Now, Jason points something out. It's a license, not a permit. By the way, the radio station in Manitowoc made the same mistake. I looked at their story, same mistake. It's a license, not a permit. That's not what the listener that sent me this story was pointing out. The listener's wondering if that's even relevant. Is it even relevant to point out that the guy had a concealed carry license and that I think actually it is. Unless he was open carrying. I think it's relevant to say, look, it's perfectly legal. And I actually think it bolsters concealed carry. It's a citizen with a legally concealed gun stopping a crime. Here's, I guess, what I would say about it. And maybe this is what the listener felt, that the media is all nervous about this. That the media is all, well, he had a gun. Was he supposed to have that gun? And can he just do that? Can he just draw a weapon on someone? Now, that is an interesting part of it. Because he's defending someone else's property with a firearm. Apparently, that's okay. At least what we're hearing so far. No, I don't have a problem with that. I think this is a bit of an overreaction by my listener. I think I'm okay with the media pointing out that he's a law-abiding citizen with a concealed carry permit, concealed and carry, whatever you want to call it, and that he used that gun legally to stop a crime. I don't think I have a problem with pointing that out. Or them pointing that out. Do you, Jason? No, that I think he overreacted a little bit here. I think pointing out that the bystander acted legally, I don't know. I think I'm missing that. I think I'm okay with that. All right, we'll get to whatever we can get to here in about the next 12, 13 minutes. It's 10:46.
The Jerry Bader Show.